All right, good morning, everybody. It is a happy Sunday. Happy Mother's Day to everybody out there, all the mothers out there who do so much for each and every one of us. This is the Teach4X podcast. It's been a while, but here we are. Who are we? We are the premier on-demand educator development service focused on the four pillars of technology, curriculum, community, and leadership. We're three high school social studies educators in a large urban school with over 25 years of experience combined. With us always, Mr. Eric Johnson. What's going on, Eric? How is your fantastic Sunday?
It's going great, Fire. I'm still riding high from the Godzilla Ultraman Monster convention that I went to this past weekend. So I'm trying to ride that high until G-Fest, the big Godzilla convention in Chicago this summer. So as we all know, this is a dangerous thing for me to even mention because I get too excited and I'll start talking about it too much. But suffice it to say, I feel like a teen girl that's been on a date with her like big crush or something. I'm still stoked from all that. How about you, Mr. Fire Eisen? What's going on about you?
Wow. Well, nothing as exciting as that. But today, of course, is Mother's Day. So it is my wife's first Mother's Day.
Oh,
So
geez, I didn't even realize. That's huge.
yeah, that's going to be a big deal. So she's going to go to the gym. She loves to go to the gym. So that's something for her to kind of focus on herself. And then we might go for a nice walk and just have a nice kind of chill afternoon here at the homestead. Jess, what are you up to today?
I just woke up, but my teeth are still kind of reeling from these metal braces that I got this week that have apparently taken another 10 years off of my life. So I really don't look like I'm a high school teacher. They're great. I like them. I tried Invisalign and those didn't really work too great for me. So I'm excited to get straight teeth, but man, the process is there.
What's the most absurd thing you've gotten stuck in them so far? Keys, wallet, notebook?
Probably my bath towel.
Wait, really?
Yeah, I was like cleaning my face and like I don't know what I did, but I like smiled and it got like stuck in one of the braces and I was like, oh my God, what do I do?
Wow, that sounds really dangerous. Honestly, this sounds very dangerous for you, Jess.
I'm scared. I don't know what's gonna happen next.
For real. What are we talking about today, Fire? This is an important one for a lot of teachers right now, especially.
So this morning we're going to be focusing on tips for teacher evaluation. So you're going to get one nugget of advice for the all-important teacher evaluation from each one of us. So Eric, you had a pretty good piece of advice. I think that's a good tip. What did you have on this topic?
So when I started my teaching career and evaluation season would show up, I would really try to go the extra mile and do the most advanced, complex, unique, special lessons that I ever did. Not to say that I wasn't always doing nice lessons, but I really tried to take it up to 11. And while I've never had an evaluation go poorly, I found that created a lot of stress and extra work for me. And trying all these like crazy lesson strategies or weird movement-based activities or stations, stuff that maybe I wasn't doing as part of my regular practice, maybe just once in a while, and then doing that like all week, waiting for the evaluation to come was really draining and challenging. And there was just like a lot of overhead. And so for me, I think one of the most important things, if you're a new teacher or an experienced teacher preparing for evaluation, I think it's super valuable to take time and consider when you're preparing your lessons or your unit that's going to get evaluated. Don't do stuff that's like completely out of your comfort zone. You know, obviously you'll probably add a bell or whistle here or there. Certainly, you know, I did as my evaluations recently came up. But overall, I taught the way I teach and I use the strategies that I know work. I don't think it's worth trying something new, trying something really scary that's going to maybe have you struggle or the lesson's going to flop during that evaluation time. You know, I think focus on what your strengths are and what's in your wheelhouse, which actually I think kind of really leads into what Jess has to say too.
Yeah, because when you were mentioning like doing things that we already are comfortable with and we excel at, it really just makes less room for like small fires that you can't put out come up. Because I think one of the things that I noticed a lot when I was doing my evaluations the first couple of years is I stressed out about it so much. Like, I wanted to make sure everything was pinpointed, planned to the perfect T. I wanted to make sure that no interruptions happened. It was just perfect, seamless. And that is not teaching. Like, that is not what happens on the daily basis. So why would you expect that to happen during your evaluation? So honestly, one of the biggest tips I told myself, which I continue to tell myself, is it's never that serious. So I think one of the things that I always tell new teachers is to just go with the flow, right? You can't control everything that happens in a lesson or when your administrator comes in. You will not be able to control everything. There will be things that happen where you're like, oh my God, of course that is happening right now. But it's all about the way that you handle it, the way that you show your adaptability. You show that you know what the procedure, the process is when these situations do arise, and you can handle it as the adult and educator in the room. So I think that that's my biggest piece of advice, is just kind of let go a little bit. Don't be too stressed about like, hey, this didn't go exactly as planned. That's honestly better, because then you can show that you have the skills to handle when things don't go as planned.
So talking about going with the flow, I'm wondering if you guys have had any experiences. I know I've had a couple where during the evaluation, when the boss is there and something crazy, goofy, zany happens, and you have to go with the flow and use that as an opportunity to show to the boss that you can handle whatever strange things come your way.
Yeah, I had a pretty good one. I had my formal evaluation and a student walked in with two full, like, large cappuccinos.
Oh, no.
A good 5 minutes late from the culinary activity that they had done upstairs. So, you know, it's definitely one of those things where it heightens the stress level and it's like, oh my gosh. But kind of like Jess said, you just gotta, you know, think of the process, the procedure. I just directed him to, you know, sign into the tardy sheet or whatever and get caught up. And I definitely caught a glimpse of, you know, the AP, and they were kind of laughing, you know, as well. They had a grin as well. So, you know, it's one of those things where it showcases your ability to be flexible, to be, you know, a decent human being to the kid. And I mean, obviously it's just one of those kind of one in a million chance things, but yeah, I mean, it's not anything worth freaking out over.
I was really scared you were going to say they spilled.
Yeah, me too. I thought we were going to hear a spill story.
No, he didn't spill because, you know, he was so focused and into it, unlike a lot of his work. So that's, you know, yeah, I wish he would stay that focused and that engaged with his work. But yeah, he was definitely not going to have a drop of that cappuccino fall. That's for sure.
Good Lord. It's always the weirdest thing on evaluation day. That's for sure.
Yeah, but that was okay. I mean, it was fun. It was fine. And then there's much bigger things, you know, there's a lot more serious screw ups that could happen, right? Like if I go off on the kid, that's, you know, well, what is that going to do? I imagine the AP, yeah, they're typing everything down as I'm freaking out on the kid.
Yep. 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 Yeah, fire. The one guy that we shared during my recent observation elected to sit with like the entirety of his weight on his neck, like leaned back into the chair like this, and like was sliding below. And like, he wasn't doing anything bad, but I mean, it looked absurd. And the AP is like looking at him, and I'm looking at him, and I'm like trying to gently like, hey, you know, that's really going to hurt your back, bud. You know, and then at that point, the AP had this look like, is there something wrong with this kid? Like, is he okay? And like, I can't just turn and be like, no, he's just kind of a weird guy.
Yeah. Then like, Jess, you know, like you mentioned, Jess, and also everybody else, there is that post observation afterwards. So just debriefing that and being like, yeah, this is what I'm dealing with this kid. I don't know. Anybody got any good ideas? Cause
yeah, right.
Can you know, let me know. I'm all ears, because you know we're just trying to try. I'm happy he's awake and he handed something in. So yeah. Yes, slouching in the chair is not the desired state, but we're working on it.
Absolutely. And then fire years is actually really kind of in line with that post conference conversation as well as the pre conference conversation. What's your big tip for teachers as they get ready for evaluations?
Just to speak and act in terms of the evaluation framework and the language in the evaluation. You know, it's kind of, I guess it might go against what Jess said to take it easy a little bit, but, you know, looking over the evaluation framework and understanding that language, it is a legal document and it is kind of the basis for your employment. So understanding that and understanding that language and the differences in the in the evaluation and the evaluation rubric is just going to go a long way in helping make sure you're giving what you need to give and what you need to show in your evaluation, right? So it might seem kind of hack, but you know, if it says you know, something about student collaboration, you know, when then you're up there giving directions, be like, okay, students, now we're going to move to the collaboration part of the, like, you have to show what you have to show. Like, everybody's there to do a job, and the APs need to see those things and hear those things. And, you know, God forbid, it might come down to you and another person. And if everybody does the same language, the same lesson, and does the same thing, and you say all the things you're supposed to say, and the other person says, oh, it's time to work together, or so, you know, and is just kind of blasé about it, then that might be a difference. So, you know, just speaking in that language, showing that you know that language just as good as your evaluators do. And then, you know, that's a great way to kind of ensure that your instruction, your moves, your actions are in line with what needs to be shown.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. I do a lot of that in the materials I write for my pre-conference and post-conference. Although, as I think both of you well know, I maybe need to dial that back a little bit, because for my last pre-conference prep, I wrote approximately 6,500 words, and that's too much. There's something wrong with me.
Yeah, that's a lot of words.
Yeah, so I got a problem.
My advice was for you.
Yeah, thanks, Jess. Yeah, I could learn a lot about trying to go with the flow in work and in life. Well, that's great. I think this is all really helpful stuff. Anything else really important we got to talk about before we go?
My braces are pink.
That's really, I'm glad for you. Cool.
So thank you again all for listening. Please rate and review us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If you would like to get in touch, you can ask us a question via Spotify, or you can shoot us an email at teach4xcontact@gmail.com. You can also find us everywhere on the web and support us on Patreon by visiting teach4x.com. Yay.
Later, gang.